But we're looking at the Bible passage we've just been reading, and we're doing so in a context where our government keeps churning out regulations to do with stopping the spread of coronavirus and the suffering and loss of life that it causes. But of course, that involves changes to what we do, and in some cases, the suffering and loss that are caused by that, some feel, can be worse. And so we hear a lot about whether people are keeping to the rules, or whether they're keeping the advice, or whether, in fact, in the view of some, that the rules are causing more harm than good, and so on. And as we've been looking at the first letter of Peter in the Bible, we saw last week that when we come to faith in Christ, we're part of God's people. We are a holy nation. But actually, we're still in the world. And in the world, we're sojourners and exiles. And in the passage that we read from chapter 2, verse 13 onwards, we see some practical examples of how we are to live in the world as exiles when our true home is in heaven. And verses 13 to 17 are about being subject to human institutions and their authority, to governments and so on. And Peter mentions the emperor and the governors. And remember that for Peter and Paul, they were put to death on the authority of the Roman emperor. And remember that Jesus had been tried by governors, by Pontius Pilate, and also by Herod. So this is not just theoretical, nor is Peter showing some rose-tinted view of those in authority. He knew that was not so. But we are still subject to such authority. Now, people might say, well, I'll accept that authority when they earn my respect. Or they might say, I'll be subject to them if I can see the good it will bring to me. But we're told instead, we are to be subject to them for the Lord's sake. We are God's people, but human authority is instituted by God. And verse 14 implies that, and Paul explains it clearly elsewhere. So as exiles who want to be true to our Lord, we must be subject to human institutions for his sake. Now, there have been those in the world who say that Christians are not loyal citizens. And even today, there is fear in some countries from the authorities because they see Christians as a threat. And that can be the cause of persecution. But in verse 15, we see that by being subject to human institutions, we should silence the ignorance and foolish people. That is, our loyalty to those in authority, our being subject to them, should mean that they see the good in our lives and indeed are not threatened by what we believe. So we belong to Christ, to God's people. We are free people, but in verse 16, we're not to use that freedom to do evil. Instead, as free people, we're to live as servants of God. So you're free, but you're to be a servant. And we freely choose to live as God's people and to do so as sojourners and exiles in the world. And so in verse 17, we're to honour everyone, including those in authority, the emperor, and so on. Now today, as in the past, those in authority are often mocked or ridiculed. Now we might disagree with those who are in positions of leadership. We might not want them to do the things that they do. We might think their decisions are bad decisions. But we should still honour those in authority. And indeed, we should still pray for them because their authority is given by God. And therefore, if we simply mock them, we're mocking him. If we dishonour them, we dishonour him. But in verse 17, we're also to fear God. And that's that reverent fear which recognises his ultimate authority, that he has authority over all things, and so gives him the honour that is his due. Well, verses 18 to 20 are about another specific situation. Anyone who is an employee has someone over them in the workplace in one way or another. And here Peter is writing to people who were servants, who had an earthly master. Now in Christ, as we've seen, we are free people. But in this world, where we are exiles, we're still under human authority. And so in verse 18, We are subject to such masters, and to be subject with all respect. And it's not just the good masters, but also the unjust ones. But we should be doing this, in verse 19, mindful of God. And so it's a conscious decision. It's something in our minds that we think through and do deliberately from the will. The problem, of course, then, is if we have a bad master or a bad employer, we may be treated unjustly. We may suffer in that situation. And I think the next bit of this letter is difficult, because if someone is treated unjustly in the workplace today, we would expect some sort of action to be taken against them. But in the ancient world, a master had much more authority and was much less accountable. And yet, do you see, therefore, that what Peter is saying to somebody who was a servant in that setting should apply all the more to us, where things actually are not that bad, if indeed they're not that bad. And Peter says that if we suffer unjustly in seeking to honour God, then it's a gracious thing. That is to say, it's something that is commendable to God. And he makes that point twice in verses 19 and 21. And so we're to learn in this from Jesus' example. Because we know that Jesus suffered unjustly, because we're told he was without sin, and Peter makes the point here. And yet he suffered. Well, he suffered for our sake. And so we should be mindful of his example, and we should be willing to follow it, to be willing to suffer unjustly for the Lord's sake. And verse 22 reminds us that Jesus committed no sin, and yet it was that under the authority of Pontius Pilate, who recognized that he had not done wrong, and also under Herod, that he was treated unjustly. He was mocked. Jesus was beaten. He was put to death. And in verse 23, we're told why he did all that. He bore our sins in his body on the tree. In other words, he died taking away our sins so that we might be forgiven. And yet he had committed no sin. Now, we may not be like being told so, but the Bible does tell us that we've all sinned against God. We're all guilty before God. And even if we recognize that, often we want to try and fix that problem ourselves, but we can't. If we could fix the problem ourselves, there would have been no need for Jesus to come into the world to suffer and to die. And so when we think we can fix it ourselves and keep trying to do so, well, it's as if we also are mocking his death and doing so because of our own sinfulness. Our sin condemns us before God, but Jesus died for our sins. And so when we trust in him, when we admit our sins and turn to him, then he bore our sins in his body on the tree, the cross. And so Peter explains, in Christ, we die to sin and we live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. And so verse 25 can be true for us. We were straying like lost sheep, but by turning to Christ, we return to the shepherd and overseer of our souls. And so, as we've seen, when we come to Christ, we become part of his people. It changes our relationship to the world, because here we are now sojourners and exiles. But that doesn't mean that we just ignore the world around us, but rather, mindful of God and all that we have in Christ, we should be subject to every human institution for the Lord's sake. Well, I'll leave a moment to reflect on that, and then I'll pray. Our Lord God, we thank you for all that our Lord Jesus endured and suffered for our sake, to take away our sin. Help us to recognize that you have given authority to people in this world, and to be willing to be subject to it for your sake. And Lord, you know that we often find that hard. Please help us, as we reflect on Jesus' example, to learn from that and to be stirred up and encouraged by it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.